Some of the people who followed Christ did so merely for a handout, to get what they could from him. Others who followed were sincere. They realized he was truly the eternal Son of God. They followed him because they claimed him as Savior and Lord. Well, we shall hear about one of the sincere followers in just a few minutes. We are told in John, the 2nd chapter, verse 23, that when Christ was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Now it appears that these people believed in Christ's name not because he was the Son of God, but because of his ability to perform miracles. For this reason, Jesus did not commit himself unto them. He knew that in many cases their belief was not genuine and that they were not true followers. Now, chapter 3 really belongs to the last three verses of chapter 2. In the original, there's a little word that was dropped in translation, the word but. But there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. But is used in contrast here in comparing Nicodemus with those who merely believe because Jesus performed miracles. Though many were not sincere, here was a man who was. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. Christ drew his followers from all walks of life. Salvation is for the rich as well as the poor, the educated as well as the uneducated. It is for everyone. Nicodemus was an ecclesiastical leader, recognized as an outstanding religious teacher. And we're told that the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Rabbi was a name of dignity among the Jews, meaning teacher or master. The earnest inquirer accepted Christ's miracles as credentials, stating that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus's faith went beyond the miracles, for he recognized two things in Christ. First, he came from God, and second, God was with him. The faith exercised by Nicodemus was based upon a sincere belief in Christ, not merely on what he did. This is saving faith. The Lord Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The new birth is a requisite for any who would enter the kingdom of God. It is not simply turning over a new leaf. It is not an effort to do better. It is not water baptism. It is a transformation of character wrought by the Holy Spirit. Actually, it's a miracle of God. As God's remedy for sin, the new birth goes to the very root of evil, the corrupt heart of man. God says, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Through the new birth, one receives new aspirations and desires, power to overcome temptation and sin. In short, this is the greatest of all miracles performed in humans. Now, many were looking for Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom. Evidently, Nicodemus had recognized the possibility of this. And upon hearing about being born again, he asked, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus overlooked the fact that the new birth is a spiritual rather than a physical experience. At his first advent, Jesus did not come to set up an earthly kingdom. He came to call sinful men and women into a spiritual kingdom. At first, this would be small and weak, but at his return, it will be great and mighty. Apparently, Nicodemus was an old man when he came to Jesus, for he asked, How can a man be born when he is old? No one is too old to be born again. There are no age barriers. Little children may come, the middle-aged, the elderly. All are invited to become the subjects of Christ's spiritual kingdom by placing faith in Christ. Our Lord further explained the new birth in verse 5, saying, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, water is used here cannot mean baptism, as some have taught, for such teaching is not substantiated by Scripture. It seems clear that by water he meant the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 9, we read, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." Spiritual cleansing is not by water, but by the Word of God. The Lord Jesus declared in John 15:3, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Further, we read in Ephesians 5:25-26, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." The Lord Jesus also stressed the fact that except a man be born again, he can neither see nor enter the kingdom of God. One may become a child of God without money, without an education, without culture, but he can never become a child of God without the new birth. Our Lord taught also that it is impossible to be born again apart from a work of God in the heart. Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Since the Lord Jesus is speaking of a spiritual kingdom, flesh can never have a part in this kingdom. There must be a spiritual rebirth. Nicodemus had spoken of entering the second time into his mother's womb and being born. Even if this were possible, it would be of no value regarding Christ's kingdom, which would still be of the flesh. If a child of human parents were born 100 times in the flesh, he would be nothing more than flesh. David declared in Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Because the flesh is sinful, those who are controlled by the flesh cannot please God, for God hates all sin. Romans 8, verse 8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." That is why all humans must be born again, for in the new birth, sins are forgiven and new life is granted. The only one who ever possessed perfect flesh was Jesus Christ. He was created in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, he looked like everyone else, but he was not sinful. He was perfectly pure and holy. It is he who died for sinful flesh, that we might become identified with him, members of his kingdom, born again, cleansed from all sin, to be eternally saved. Nicodemus was in earnest, desiring to know the truth. Like many, he wanted to figure it all out before believing. Our Lord said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." One would be foolish not to believe in the wind simply because he could not see it or fully comprehend its mighty power. This is no reason to overlook its evidence. So it is with the spiritual rebirth. Granted, there are mysteries involved. It would be impossible to give a clear-cut rationalization of it. Such would rule out faith. And the Bible declares, without faith, it is impossible to please him. The operations of the Holy Spirit in transforming a sinful man or woman cannot be fully understood, for the Holy Spirit is sovereign God and incomprehensible in his ways. Thus, let us not stumble because of the limitations of our finite minds. By faith, let us believe the truth as presented in God's word. For Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Have you been born again? If not, now's the time. God is desirous that you turn to him. Trust Jesus Christ as we pray together. Father, we know from your word that apart from Christ there is no salvation. Thus I pray that many will call on him right now, for I ask in his name. Amen.